because we hear these words often, right? And I don't think people really understand when someone says equity, what they actually mean.
Ah. Equity. We share the guinea. Okay. Equity is ownership of the business, right? Because when you go and register your company there, you register as 100%, but if you have partners, it's great for you because you can then say, look, for us to start this company, we need 100,000, right? Mm. I don't personally have 100,000. But it means, Uguti, if I have five people that are bringing ama 20K, then we have 100,000, then we start.
Welcome to the Lebo Lion Show. I want to say the biggest marketing and entrepreneurship show on the African continent, but I think we're moving in a different direction and I'm really enjoying it. So let's come up with a new phrase for the show. Please put it in the comments section below. I'm your host, Lebo Lion, and today we are changing it up because we have a guest who's going to be teaching us a few things, telling us his story, and opening our eyes to things that we don't know. But you guys know, before we get into the conversations and the good stuff, we have to do what we have to do. Pay the bills. So subscribe, comment, share this podcast with anyone that you know who you think would enjoy the content. And also go grab a cup of something nice. Get yourself comfortable so you can enjoy this conversation that we're going to have today. Remember, our mission for 2023 is to have honest, unfiltered conversations. So that's why we're going to have the kinds of guests that we're going to have this year, and we're going to have the kinds of conversations that we're going to have. So without further ado, because there's a lot to discuss and we don't have much time, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Banele Reo. Hello, Banele. Good day, okay. Banele is going to force me to speak vernac today. Please don't laugh at me if I pronounce words incorrectly. Banele, on this show, we don't introduce our guests. We ask them to introduce themselves. So please introduce yourself.
Okay. Kamalamo Banele. I am an author and an entrepreneur. And I've been doing a lot of things over the last 15 years. But currently, I'm the author of Nomayini, The Mentality You Need Before You Start in a Business. Mm-hmm. I'm also a content producer. So this is... feels right at home.
Yeah.
I have a show on TV, which I'm not going to mention.
Tata, you can mention it.
Well, it's on eSoto TV. It's called The Mentality, where we profile entrepreneurs that are doing amazing things in Malokshini.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess the rest of you have to hear it in this conversation.
Awesome. Yeah. I think he's really underplayed who he is and what he does. But luckily, we've got a bit of time to unpack this, right? When I go on your social media pages, the one thing that screams at me is township entrepreneurship.
Yeah.
Tell me why that is so closely linked to your brand.
Look, I'm the kind of person that I monetize where I am, right? So it comes from the belief that you need to dominate your environment, right? So if I'm going to spend, I've spent, 30 years in the hood?
Okay.
Lokshini, so it had to pay me, right? You have to, when you leave Ilogish, it's like, okay, since I'm here, what can I do while I am here to make money? And came a book from that, came a show that's on Soweto TV that profiles Abantu Base Lokshini. And so it's that for me, right? And above everything, I believe in the notion of Amakhrotman.
Amakhrotman.
Yeah. Amakhrotman are what you'd call Role models.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Specifically male, or yeah, can a woman be a grootman?
Specifically male.
Okay.
No. Specifically male. And I grew up around a grootman, right? I was influenced a lot by people who were very famous, who were in TV, who were on TKZ, right? And I grew up around those people. And luckily, because I could see, like, the one street at the back, on Generations, and around the corner, there's Dr. Mache, who's on TKZ. And when you see those people every day and you can talk to them every day, you don't feel like you're in the hood, right? Because they go out there and do amazing things, and you see them on TV, and then the next thing, you're talking to them, right? And what they imparted in me is what I realize is no longer the election, because me now, when I start doing good, I leave the hood, and then I leave a void. Someone else is going to come in, they're going to bring drugs, they're going to bring a bad influence. So it's like, okay, I'll dominate my environment by, I'm going to make it pay me, but what am I going to do with those funds?
Yes.
I'm going to then give them back and develop other young people that I'm sure there's a Banele who's currently 10 years old who needs to hear and find me and say, ah, okay, so if I'm from the hood, I can actually get to this level. I can write a book. I can have a business. I can do this. So that's why it's really closely linked to my brand. But it's not where, it's not limited to that.
Yes.
You know, yeah. So we need to move up levels now.
I like that, yeah. You know. And before we go up to the other levels, yeah. I just want to have a bit of a deeper conversation about the township, because yeah. I've had a guest previously who also spoke about the township, and it got people really riled up.
Yeah, that the, brother from T.
Yeah, the, that brother from name. T.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Bulelani.
Yeah, yeah, Bulelani. Yeah, 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 yeah. Him, yeah.
So the one conversation we had was about, is the township inherently a bad place, right?
Yeah.
And when I say that, I'm coming from a perspective of so many people want to almost own the township as if to be black is to be from the township, or yeah. to be black is to be township.
Yeah.
What do you think of that conversation and that concept?
Look, I can brand myself township if I can sell it, if it's beneficial to me, right? Then do it. I would say if you figure out a way of getting people together by identifying yourself as township, do it. If you can come up with businesses that work for the township and they work only when you're in the township, do it.
Mm.
The question is, are townships inherently bad places? I think to a degree, very much so.
Okay.
Yeah, to a degree, very much so. I'm trying to be diplomatic. Yeah.
But why are you trying to be diplomatic? You are so not a diplomatic human being.
Let me tell you. You see, if you're in the township, that's the card that you dealt.
Mm.
Right? You can be in the township, but you are in a suburb setup.
What, like township.
Deep Kloof, for yeah, example. You
okay.
know, you could be there.
Yeah.
Or you could be a Protea South, Imikuku, Clip Town. So, but all together, your onke lento le, is you find ukuthi ama services, they're not as good as the North. That's a fact.
Yeah.
Like, you can't run away from that, you know? And even shopping experiences, even safety. I mean, nature was, you know, like trees, bruh. Like, I have a problem with trees. I think that's my main problem,
yes.
with the hood. We killed the trees, right? We killed the trees because we thought ukuthi it's not civilized to have a tree, because yangcolisa, you know what I mean? So to keep our yards clean, we'd kill the trees. Mm. But that has contributed to logishi to have its own microclimate. It's hot there. We know that. So now, there's so many levels that you can judge Ilogishi, but the environment, the first environment that we have to look into is the environment in someone's mind who is in the lokshin, right? Because I was in Ikasi Parati, but my mind was always outside. You know what I mean? It was always outside. And it's because of the books that I read, I really asked my mother for my encyclopedia. I think she paid them for like 6, 7 years.
Yeah, I don't even think the 2000s know what an encyclopedia is.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That was before That was before, your Googles and stuff.
Yes.
Yeah, so I asked my mother to buy me encyclopedias, and I think luckily in my hood there was an initiative that was done by Windows, right? Microsoft, right? And they called it a digital village. Mm. So in 98, they put computers in there, right? And then we went there. So after school, you would go and play with computers. So I've been online since like 98, basically. You know, I was on those chat rooms and blah, 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 you know? So I got exposed. I would, oh, okay, there's this, like Mhlabene. But I was in the hood.
Mm.
So the hood, Malibelukula, lapha, it's survival. Whether you think it's not, but it is. You go out to a party, you need to check yourself, right? Your hamba, your story, you need to check yourself. All of those things. And there's people that would probably hate you because they've seen you as a kid and now you're transforming into something else. There's jealousy. You know what I mean? They could do something to you. So it's a survival. Now, being in that environment is like, this is where you are, but the question is, who are you inside your head? Do you see yourself outside of it, right? And if you can see yourself outside of it, and then you start thinking like a person who does not live in the township, you're more likely to come up with ideas on how to monetize yourself in the township because you're not emotional about being in the township.
Yes.
Right? That's why you find people that would start businesses in the township and then they take the money and then they leave. And it's like, no, but you can't do that. It's like, but why should I do it? You know what I mean? Why should I care? Because I'm only here to take money. And you see it with a lot of races that are conducting our business in the in the hood. They come take the money and then they give you 10,000 for like a soccer kit a year. You know what I mean? They don't care. It's because to them it's business. Now, if you want, you can think of it as business.
Yeah.
Right? Because it really boils down to what's the environment in your mind.
On your website, you call yourself a social entrepreneur, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And in my mind, that is somebody who does business consciously.
Yeah, yeah.
So you're not only for profit, but you're for people.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Mm. So you speak about these entrepreneurs who go, or these businesses who go into the township, make money, and leave and just give you, you know, money for a soccer kit or whatever the case may be. Is it profitable to be a social entrepreneur,
100%
first of all?
It is.
And why should we be social entrepreneurs? I mean, as black people, we've gone through so much. Why do we have to keep giving back? Is it giving back?
I'll tell you, the most money that I've made in my life, in all the projects that I've made when I had called in people to join in, right? Like in all my years, right, of entrepreneurship, it's like, okay, I mean, back in the cut, I started something called I Create, We Create.
I Create, We Create.
Yeah, okay. I Create, We Create before this mall, actually. Right?
You've been around for a while.
Yeah, dude, I've been, bro. Yes, I used to walk from Ekilani and walk to Ebram.
Wow.
Right? No, what's this? In Newtown.
Newtown, yeah.
Yeah, and then that's where we had I Create, We Create. What it was, I brought together what I realized, Uguti, when it comes to marketing and advertising and agencies, they don't find the raw talent, right? They find what is produced from the street, or if an executive identifies an individual, but what are the odds, right? And then I said, okay, let me take creative young people that are really good at what they do, but they don't afford Geskulwen. So they can't go to your triple A's and your Vegas, and then call an agency to come through and let's come see these people showcase their stuff.
Yeah.
And a lot of people got jobs from there. I mean, even the band members of the band that was playing La Payana, they went on to create a profitable careers today. So that's when I knew, Guti, mina, that's what I'm about. Like, I can't stop it. Even if I try to be like a selfish entrepreneur, I can't. It's like, I really feel like the God and the creator, I just get these messages that say, go do this.
Mm.
And if you do it for people who's over sharp, I really believe that because I've seen it so many times. So now, from that, and then there was, we are coming for everything.
Mm-hmm.
We are coming for everything. That was in 2017, 18, somewhere there, where I said, okay, we're going to be a community that pulls in. If you open a business, we're all going to come on your opening day.
Okay.
Right? And we did that. And one notable business was the Wing Republic. At the time, it was like zero known.
Wow.
Right? And then I saw a post on Facebook. Egashlomp says, yo, I've opened a shop in, you know, it's like one like, two likes, three thing, you know, that kind of thing. It's like, I have people. And then I went to my community, we're coming for everything, and said, on a certain day, after the 25th, when we paid, we're all going there. And then we did.
Wow.
We went. And then that is the first time he clocked over like 100K in a day. And that has been his trajectory afterwards. It was normal for that, you know. So yeah, that's I get the fulfillment to do that, right? Pisgo Gut is an objective. I feel like I'm sent to do it.
Yeah.
First of all, you know, it's I'm obligated. And then the second thing is that I'm given the intelligence to put it together. And then I think the universe just pulls us in, like the people, because they then maybe recognize what I'm trying to do. And then we go, we benefit the said individual. That individual is employing 10, 15 people. And then I create a lifetime friendship with that person. If I need anything, I know Gutangeng Lamb in Pinjamin Amaribs. You know what I mean? So you can then imagine if you keep on doing that, there's no way you're going to be poor.
You've touched on many concepts.
Yeah.
And what I like about you is you're one of the, what I call an original marketer, you know?
Mm.
You know how to take anything and make it have value.
Yeah, that's
the core of marketing, 100%. Right?
Yeah.
And not only that, but you understand the value of community and how to galvanize community, to monetize, to amplify, to give meaning and value to many things.
Yeah,
and I think that's really incredible. People don't understand how important that is.
Yeah.
Can you please highlight for our audience why that's so important and what it really is?
You mean galvanizing people and working with the community?
Yes, galvanizing people, the guerrilla marketing. What is it really? Why is it important? And can you use it to make your business succeed without doing all the other kinds of advertising and marketing?
Look, everything boils down to the community.
Mm-hmm.
Any brand that sells anything and has customers, those customers are a community.
Yes.
People do not... I always believe which people do not buy the product, they buy probably the why you're doing it. And a lot of people believe Uguti, you'll never make it in life unless you know who and who.
Mm-hmm.
But they all come back to your community, because if we're talking about our connections, we're talking about who you know, and you know. And then if we're talking about your loyal customers, then it boils down to your community. So the first thing that I do, Mina, is I identify what people want, right? At the time when I started, there was a need for agencies to identify young people, raw talent.
Okay.
There was a need at the time. I mean, these were 2010s, somewhere there. And then in around 2014, when I create, we create 2015, at the time, there wasn't those. You know, now when you go on Facebook, you find Kasi, what entrepreneurs and what
those groups.
We were the first to like do that, right? We were the first to like literally do those kind of pages. And at the time, we had like a lot of people. But and then these young men came through, young men and women. I don't know who's behind the page, and then they started copying this thing of telling a story of like a entrepreneur in a corner somewhere selling veggies, and then you get like tons of likes, right? We started that, right?
Okay.
But it's good because then it's functional. It's benefiting someone. Yeah. My job was done.
Yes.
Right? So now you can then imagine, which all along, I do keep on getting this support because I understand, Uguti, it's very rare that you find one entrepreneur. Let's take Uthiyo, for example, right? He's like one man, right? And he's the face of his company. It's very rare for that to happen. And you find with a lot of entrepreneurs, they want to be like that, right? Yes.
What, they want to be the brand, the face of their business.
Yeah, and they want to build it alone, right? But Uthiyo is very, he's well-educated. He didn't just come up and say, you understand? He's well-educated, so he knew exactly what he was doing, right? Mm-hmm. Of course, he would learn a couple of things, but there's this culture of wanting to be the entrepreneur. You understand? You know what I mean? They want to be at the forefront. But if we're all trying to be the, it's going to be a problem because then you're going to go through what could take you a year to achieve will now take you 10 years, and we don't have to anymore. There's all these social media platforms now. You can get funders and sponsors and get a community to test your product. All of these things we can do it as a group now. If you look at everyone who's winning in the township, is that they do things as a group. The taxi business, it is a beast as it is because the taxi drivers back then, they understood Uguti, we need to do izinto as a group.
Yes.
So we need to bring that back now where we say, let's do izinto as a group. Yes, it was fine when we had superstar entrepreneurs. That was cute.
It was cute.
Yeah, it was fine. You know, yeah. But a lot of entrepreneurs are failing along the way. Who could be people that are running successful businesses? But the only difference, Uguti, they just needed to, or they need to realize, Uguti, man, if I'm going to start a brand, how about I gather 10 or 15 people that we can start maybe a stock fair, right? And that's automatically, that is funding. Automatically. You did not go to government. You did not go to NYDA. You did not go to any other of these organizations that will only fund you only when you're successful, because that's what they want. That's what people need to understand.
Mm-hmm.
Organizations, if an organization comes and funds you, it's because they see Uguti, that company is already profitable.
Yes.
And it's making a lot of money. So what they're doing, right, is that they're attaching their name on your business so that they're able to report back to their seniors, Uguti, we supported business X, and now it's successful because we were part of it.
Yes.
That's why. I want our people
they're
to understand
riding on
that.
The hype.
They're almost riding on the hype. Yeah. They will never sign you knowing, Uguti, you're still there behind the scenes. So a lot of young people think, Uguti, brands, they think what brands like literally care about your business. Brands do not care about your business, right? A brand is a company. It's an entity. It doesn't have feelings, right? And then when you are attached to your business, because this is the difference between you eating that day or not. Mm-hmm. So when you feel it, like literally on your body, a brand doesn't. Brand, they look at the numbers. So when you go there and you're begging for them to sponsor you with anything, right? They're not going to say, oh, let's do this because, you know, we really feel like it's such an important... No. They look at, if we give you money, how does it look on our PR? Does it look great? Mm-hmm. Ah, fantastic. How far are you on your journey? Are you about to win? Yes, and then they, you know what I mean? So instead of waiting for those situations, get people around you. Get people around you. Give them majority share of whatever you're doing, right? Because that's another thing. We have entrepreneurs that really want funding, but they're so stuck on keeping that 51%.
Yes.
But I want controlling shares. Controlling what, my man? You're going to control zero. You're going to control a company that is worth zero rands if you don't get people to come in.
Yeah.
If you give people want majority of anything. Give them that. You know, if the people can put together a money that can take your business from a company that is generating 10,000 a year to 100 million a year, then I would rather have 10% of 100 million than 100% of 100,000. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So that's what we need to understand. People give away equity, guys.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Give away equity. So I'm Nandi. You know?
What's equity from a Gassi perspective for people just to understand what you mean? Because we hear these words often, right? And I don't think people really understand when someone says equity, what they actually mean.
We share the guinea. Okay. Equity is ownership of the business, right? Because when you go and register your company there, you register as 100%, but if you have partners, it's great for you because you can then say, look, for us to start this company, we need 100,000, right? I don't personally, mina ezobanela, I don't have 100,000, but it means ukuthi if I have five people that are bringing ama 20k, then we have 100,000, then we start. So now if I were to hustle for the 100,000, I'm likely going to spend 2 years, 3 years, 4 years trying to raise the 100,000. Mm-hmm. But if I put in these five people, then we can do it within a month. Right? Okay. Sharp. A lot of people don't. And if I ask a typical person, how much do you think Zuckerberg owns of Facebook? They don't know what he owns. I think it's less than 20%, right?
Yeah, like, it is.
Yeah, and then Jeff Bezos owns about 9%, I think, of Amazon, right? Mm-hmm. But he's the man, right? All these companies, they use the same formula. They're all coming together. They're all bringing in funds and skills, right? That's what the market is about. That's what shares are about.
Mm.
And you know, we're not exploring that because we still want to be the entrepreneur.
Mm.
So that's delaying our progresses as people.
Yeah.
And in fact, as entrepreneurs. Yeah, understand. So yeah.
Do you not also think that there's an issue about how we perceive our businesses as black people, right? That we won't think our business could become an Amazon. And we think when we're hiring 10 people, it's a small business, so it doesn't really matter. Why would I even have to think about equity?
Yeah.
Do you get what I'm saying? Do you not think that mindset is also the problem?
I know. There's a... okay, when it comes to equity, there's another way which I really believe in.
Mm-hmm.
The Stockfell method.
Mm-hmm.
Stockfell method is amazing, right? Because with Stockfeller, basically you say, look, guys, let's create an entity, a Stockfell, and we'll put money there, right? And then from that, it's like we can fund any business from any member, lapaya, inside the Stockfell. The company does, the Stockfell can get shares and own 60% or 70% of shares in the company, but they don't have to have controlling rights of the company.
Mm-mm.
Right? So basically, it's like, go ahead, own the company, do what you need to do, make this thing profitable, because now the Stockfell is acting like a bank on you. It's like, we're giving you a loan. It's like, do what you need to do, make sure which this is profitable, and then when you make profits, we take 60%. That's a fat deal.
It's like venture capital without all the stress.
Correct. Yeah. You understand? And then we have a lot of people. Trust me, there's a lot of people that really want to support businesses, that really want to be in businesses, but because of the kind of because of the current situation that they have to keep 9-to-5s. Mm. But they do have like the extra 500 rand or 600 rand and 100 rand. If there was a stock fail that was doing something, I would. Mm. Right? So there's a lot of those people. And they want to say, good, I own shares of a certain business and I put money in there because they're getting my dividends out of it, right? There's a lot of those people, right? Because there is, trust me, a lot of people that have 9-to-5s, they fine. Some people enjoy 9-to-5, 100%. They really carry on 20, and they are necessary because they must do the work inside. Yes. They must pull other black people and, you know, sing in a song, you know. So they're doing the work inside. Mm. But the question is, what are they doing with their money? Corner, there is part of their money that they want to use for development of the township, for example, but there are no vehicles.
Yes.
So the Stokvel is a proper vehicle for that, where we bunch together Mali, and then we do that. So when it comes to Uguti, we don't think Uguti our businesses can reach Amazon levels. It's a real thing.
Yeah.
The reason why it's a real thing is because if you look at the setup of the country, it's not set up in a way Uguti. It's not set up in a way Uguti. We have opportunity to succeed because we do not have.
When you say we
as a band.
Who's we?
Abantu
people?
Yeah. There people, is no other Abantu.
No.
Black people.
Okay.
Yeah. Abantu.
Yes.
Yeah. Abantu. Bantus.
You should see the look that Banan is giving me right now.
Yeah, I can see. Abantu. He came.
Abantu. Okay.
Abantu. Yeah. So, Tina Bantu, we don't have a lot of opportunities, right? Mm. And that we don't have ready-made opportunities. Let me say that. We do have opportunities if we create those opportunities and find solutions to our own problems in our own way. The taxi industry is one example. How Stokvel is another example. So we are very capable of it. You know, Stokvel is as simple as, I mean, just jumping in a taxi, we just agree, Uguti, okay, C11, C16, we're going to bunch in money together and then we're going to hire this guy to drive us to this destination. We have an agreement, although, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. That's an agreement. It's easy for us to do. We've been doing that with funerals. And then these companies are taking these ideas and, you know, we're done complaining. It's time to do things about it now, you know? Mm. So, yes, it's we do have a potential. Now, I think we must convince the people that are in corporate, Abantu Betu, black people in corporate, to take the risk, right? They must take the risk and say, how about I go open those companies? I can't name. I don't want to name them. I don't want to give them free airtime. But you know that one with the Dubes, for example, on TV, you know? Those companies that sell funeral policies, there are people that are able to do that. There are people there's a bank that's being made by Uchafta, Luyanda Chafta. He's at the People's Fund. They're creating a bank, right? It's happening. And then they have a stock fail, 100 rand, doing the things. Mm. So we need someone else to do things like insurance, starting insurance. Yes, we don't have access to old money, which is there in Stellenbosch. So we don't have people that can give us 100 million off the bat. Maybe start that other insurance company that is now a bank. That is, yeah, you know that one.
Yes,
yeah.
We know.
We don't have.
I discovered it a while ago.
Correct. Yeah. That one. So we don't have access to the kind of money and funds that they have, right?
Yeah.
But we can start at small scale. But we need to start now. Mm. That's what we need to do. We need to start. So we need to have. Right now, I don't think Google team. We don't have a black anyway. You know what I mean? I don't think Uguti, we don't have a black anyway. There's a corner umuntu at every level in every industry. in South Africa. I really believe that, you know. So now we need to then, let's find ourselves, you know. Let's find these people and then let's start these things. And then how we're going to find them, how we're going to fund them is by collectively doing it together.
What I'm hearing you say is that, A, we should all become investors.
Yeah.
And B, we can be investors from literally any age, as long as you have a little bit, whether it's 50 rand or whatever, to start putting into something that you believe in.
Mm.
Yes, I'm hearing you say that.
Yeah.
Okay, so you spoke about stock sales, and I want to get back into that through your content on Instagram.
Mm.
So I went on your page, and I saw that you were talking on, even on TikTok and Instagram. I don't actually have Facebook, guys. Like, I can't vibe with Facebook.
No, it's fine. I mean, I'm a millennial, so Facebook
I'm a millennial, too. Like, I don't enjoy Facebook.
You see, that's the thing, bro. It's like, when I looked at the stats, is that Facebook is the biggest platform, right?
Mm-hmm.
As much as I have aspirations of being a more of an Instagram person because it's more shinier, it's beautiful. But I'm like, where the people at?
Yes.
Like, the people at Facebook, I'm going to go where the people are.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And, you know, it's a very interesting subject that you're raising now because the people is different for everybody.
Yeah,
right? So
your market. Yeah.
Your market is your market. And my market, we're good on Instagram. We're good on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
We're good on TikTok. It's just Facebook is not my vibe. And I think they have to change the interface.
Mm.
I find it to be a really boring experience. When I look at it, I'm like, oh, my God, this is so boring. Why don't they change this?
Mm.
But anyway, so I was looking at your content on Instagram. Mm. And you were speaking about catfish. And I was like, what is this man talking about? Is he talking about people, you know, who are faking their identities?
Oh, yeah.
Is he talking about the fish? What's going on here? I open it and I see you talking about catfish farming.
Yeah, the fish. Yeah.
In South Africa.
Yeah.
Talk about that. Tell me why you are talking about catfish farming in South Africa. How does that even happen?
Okay, so what happened is on January this year, I went online, I created a video, and then I said, guys, because I have this book, Nomayin, and this book is about teaching the mentality that you need to have before you start a business.
Mm-hmm.
And then I said, let me live this book. Let me show you like that this book works, right? And then I said, okay, we're going to start a company, right? And then we're going to start it. We're going to do it in public. And then I said, I don't know what the company is. I don't know what product it's going to be. I don't know what the name is. All I know is that I just have this idea. Uguti, let's live this book, right? So we said, let's start a company, and then we're going to take it to 1 million, and then we're going to do it, 1 million rands, and we're gonna do it in 24 months.
Wow.
Right?
Okay.
Now, the reason why it was
A million rands in profit or?
In sales.
In sales, yeah. Okay.
The reason why, I like the question actually, I'll tell you why.
Mm.
The reason why I said 1 million is because if you're going to start a business, you need to have a target. Mm. I mean, the target could have been anything, right? So you need to have a target so that you know what you're working towards. Tina, we start a business because I need something to do, or mbonile ukuthi into qala ama business style, I know ya trend, I need to get in. I want to be the next individual winner.
I want to help people.
Yeah, sometimes.
No, very rare. The time.
I want to help people.
I think a lot of people want to help.
You're
going to
suffer, bro. You know the problem with a lot of people that I feel they start a businesses to help people,
mm-hmm.
they become beggars,
mm-hmm.
right? So when are you saying, which I want to be a chief beggar?
Mm-hmm.
For example, you find these organizations that represent underprivileged maybe individuals or communities and whatnot. When they go to corporate, they don't go to corporate and say, look, corporate, Tina, what we do is we let's say we buy pads for young women, which is a necessity, right? So we buy pads for young women, or we address, say, for example, what I'm addressing in the book, drugs. We help young men
overcome drug addiction, yeah. Right?
Sharp. When they go to corporate, they get this like, please give us money. Corporate is like, why? It's like, no, it's because there are people there that are suffering and they're taking drugs and we want to stop them.
Mm-hmm.
And then the corporate is going to say, yeah, but what's in it for us? And then the person is like, but what do you mean what's in it for you? Because what I'm doing is good for the people.
Mm-hmm.
That's your problem. The people that are on drugs, addicted to drugs, and the criminals, they're terrorizing you. They're not terrorizing corporate. Mm-hmm. So they're not corporate's problem. But you need to find a solution that works for corporate, where you say, "Begala corporate, Mina, I identify with a lot of young men, a lot of young people are using drugs. Mm-hmm. And I know what you want above everything. You want visibility, right?" And then you say, "Yeah." And then you say, "You want sales, right?" And then it's like, "Yeah." And then you say, "Okay." And then you find something that puts these things together. What can give corporate visibility and sales and also solve the problem? Mm-hmm. It's media, for example. Mm. Right? For me, it's media. And then you're like, "Okay, let's create a show and let's put it on Soweto TV." And Kumbuliti Soweto TV, and it has a mandate value to support content as a location. So it's like, "Yeah, let's take it to Soweto TV." And then you have a discussion with Soweto TV. Soweto TV is like, "Okay, well, who are you?" It's like, "No, I see people, they're taking drugs there, and I want to help them." And then babus. "But okay, what's in it for us?" Soweto TV is a corporate itself. So what's in it for us? It's like, "I'm going to bring you viewers because people are interested in seeing and being educated and seeing their community being safer, etc." It's like, "Ah, fantastic." Then you go get corporate, you give them visibility through that show or that media platform. Mm. And then they pay money. That's what they're paying. They're paying money for that.
Yes.
You are giving us visibility. A media platform like Soweto TV, what is it going to do? It's going to put it out there because they support that kind of content, but also they're earning from it, right? And then from there, the earnings, you get the earnings. When you get your money for running around, and then you take the money to people that need it. Yeah, but so you do not beg anyone there. You made a deal at every stage. So the people that have these organizations, a lot of them, they go there and then they beg. You understand? They beg. It's like you get inboxes. Banel, I'm collecting socks for my community. And I stare at you. I stare at the thing. It's like, okay, you're collecting socks. So when are you a chief beggar? So if you're going to come to me, you say, "Beggar Banel, I'm collecting socks, right? And the reason why I'm collecting socks and why I'm talking to you is because when you love socks, and you're always wearing socks or something, you know, I'm always wearing a headgear. You know what I mean?" So, so you need to study the person that you approach.
Yes.
Don't come here with the sob story. Man, I hate sob stories every day. Everywhere you go, there's sob stories. Each Josie, the whole Josie is a sob story.
Thank God, you know someone said it.
Young talk. So
Thank
I don't
you.
Want. Yeah, so don't come to me and, hey. In fact, don't go to anyone. Yeah. So in this book, I teach you how to get things from anyone. In fact, I did a free PDF that I put on my website, and 20,000 people downloaded it.
Wow!
Right, and I'm like, yes, ish, and I've been in charge here. Yes, 20,000 times 50 rand. I'm like, I'm afraid.
Yeah,
you know, but why it was free? So the PDF is called How to Get Anything from Anyone. So it teaches you how to approach people.
You.
So the core of it is like, if you approach someone, you first need to study them. You understand? It's okay, Lebu, Onutanda, no, you like talking about media. Oh, okay, sharp. What is it that I want to do? I want to talk about my book. Oh, okay, sharp. Hey, Lebu, beg. I have this book, right? And it talks about drugs, right? And I have 20,000 people that are following my account, right? Mm. And if you bring me up on your show, you know, and no, that's not what I did, because, you know, they found
him,
me because they're smarter than me.
I said,
but
wow,
if
he's
I were
amazing.
To approach you, that's what I would have done.
Yeah.
You know, so I would have come to him, it's like, "Pega Lebu, I have this book and I have this project that's happening. I know, Guti, you want exposure to my audience,
yes.
right? And if you bring me onto your show, right, I'll basically connect you to my audiences, right? you are on Instagram, you mostly on Instagram, mina mostly on Facebook. So it means now we're trading. It's a good deal.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So I teach you how to do that. It's simple. You know, identify what the person wants, and then you offer that thing. And then you offer it in a way of saying, good team, I'm here to give you, you don't have to, like, don't have to pay me. You know what I mean? Just don't pay me. I'll give you whatever it is, and I see you have a such and such a problem, right? Like in your show, I would have said, I know that you're always on Instagram and you have Instagram. Mina, I have people Facebook. On Facebook, so I can connect you to those people. It's a simple thing for you to do. Yes. It takes about 2 SMSs.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, this is your problem. Oh, this is who I am, and this is what I like about you, and this is what I see as a problem. That's one.
Love it.
That's one message. That's
one
inbox.
This is who I am. This is what I like about you.
Yeah.
And this is the problem.
This is your problem about your stuff.
Okay. This is your problem about your stuff. Okay.
Right. The next one is, this is what I do, and this is what I can do, and you don't have to do anything. Mm. That's, you see this one. That's the most important. The last one is like, you don't have to do anything. This is on your second message, and then you say, you don't have to do anything, and then you give the solution, right? I suggest you do ABC. Now, what's going to happen? That is heartwarming to anyone. You've just introduced yourself, which is basically good manners.
Yes.
Scarlinger, let's break it down. It's good manners, and then you showed that you know me. So it's not good. You just Googled me. You know what I mean? Like, you've been following me. Oh, I like being followed. You know, like, heartwarming stuff. And then the third part is like, I see you have a challenge with what? Huh? You want to help me? I'm ready for you.
But can we also speak about how you have to be so careful when you describe someone's challenge? Because people have egos, right? You mustn't worry about egos. Okay, then what do we do?
Hey, you know, if you've ever gotten a call from a call center that's trying to sell you something.
Yeah.
I love those people. Hate them, but I love what they're doing. These people are going to call, right? These people are going to call about 100 people a day trying to sell them insurance. You know how many times those people get insulted? For nothing. They get insulted. I don't know what they do when they go home, right? I don't know what they do, but I know for sure. Good. Mina, I separate what I do from the being that I am. Right? Mina, my career, for example, could be in shambles. Shambles. But Mina, my being, is fine. Because I'm like, oh, the career is burning. Or my money, I'm broke. That's money. The money is broke. Not me, the being. I will still meditate. I'll still be grateful, right? I'll still go out there and exercise and keep my body and my spirit in sync, right? So, because that is the me. You understand? So what I do, I can do anything. I can sell a book today. Tomorrow, if anything just falls apart, right, and I have to be a beggar of some sort, I can go back because I understand, Uti, that is what I need to do for then. I will dominate whatever in the space that I'm in. So coming back to Uguti, why you should not have an ego, or don't worry about people's egos. The person, if you're accurate on what the problem is, if you're accurate about it, when you are selling yourself, so how they take it is not your business, really. When are you delivered what you came to deliver? If they have an egotistical problem, then you should have never worked with that person in any case if they don't understand. Because imagine you working with a person who's egotistical, who when you point something wrong to them, right, that you actually offering to improve. You're not just saying, ha-ha. No, you're saying, I can improve it. And they don't understand the concept. It's fine. You don't have to work with that people. I mean, you work with a team, right? There's no way that you know each and every thing that happens. You have like a top-level understanding of what happens and how it should happen. But you trust in each and every team member, Uti, they do their best in their best in the work that they do. Mm. And when your job is to sell, it's, well, you host because, you know, but you're selling. This is what you're doing. You're selling.
Yeah.
Right? Bona, they can do their technical stuff. I'm sure these guys like spend hours listening there to YouTube videos of how to set up a camera. That's what they love.
Do you guys spend hours?
No, they do. They do. Right? They do. That's what they do. But when you're a seller, you're a marketer. Mm. That's what you do. But you need to able to operate a team.
Yes.
Right? So if you don't have a team around you, then it means there's something wrong with you.
I get you.
Young talk. So if when are you if when as an entrepreneur you're approaching someone and then you point something wrong to them and then you say, this is how I can fix it, and then they don't they react negatively, then it's fine because it's useless working with that person. Imagine if they were to take you on, if they were to pay you. That's going to be abuse.
It's going to be abuse.
It's going to be abuse, so it's fine.
So back to the catfish farming.
Mm.
How did we get there?
Yeah, the catfish farming. Okay. Jesus, we went deviated.
We really did. Yeah. We started here. We went there. We were supposed to go there.
I'm comfortable here. Okay, so the catfish farming started as this project where I said, okay, guys, I don't know what the business is going to be. I don't know what the business is going to be, and let's do this thing together. Mm. And then we're going to take it from zero to a million within 24 months, and I'm going to use what I have in the book and what I teach in the book. Okay? Sharp. First week, people were excited about it. Yeah, let's do it. I'm in. I love it. Sharp. But we don't know what it is that they love. They just love the idea of doing something together, you know? Fantastic. Past the month, people suggested, I said to them, we need to identify a problem before we can jump into any business. What problem are we trying to solve? That's the main thing. That's the one question you need to ask yourself as a business person before you start. What problem are you solving? No one's going to pay something if you're not solving a problem.
Mm.
People will say, yeah, but what is maybe like a luxury brand solving? It's like, maybe I have low self-esteem, and when I wear that brand, it solves a problem for me.
Mm-hmm.
Problem solved. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not too good. You have to save dolphins.
Yeah.
But anyway, so the problem that we realize with time, you know, we really do want to go into farming, right? But we don't have access to it. If you have the land, you don't have the money. If you have the land and the money, you don't have the skills.
Mm.
If you don't have, you know what I mean? Ganja la wanjal. And then someone suggested, one of the problems was the situation with UGES, right? Load shedding. And then we talked about batteries for a while. And then we realized, there's a lot of players, you know, even from government. There's a lot of players in that space. So they're gonna annihilate us really quick. Then someone suggested catfish farming. It's like, what is catfish farming now? What is a catfish to begin with?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so the person described Uguti, it's a fish that you can grow in your backyard. It's like, oh, what? In my backyard? It's like, yeah, because it's freshwater fish. Oh, fantastic. Okay. So we started, so we used technology, obviously, social media, to start talking about it, and we have like these lives. And then we had the lives. And then we found out more about a catfish. We went, okay, sharp, it's a species of fish that you can grow in your backyard, literally in a pool-size place. And then you grow the fish to 1 kilogram. That thing is about 80 rands, for example, right? And you can grow 1,000 in a 10,000-liter pool, right? So, okay, so we can do that. All right, so what does it solve? Oh, okay. It's cheaper than ocean fish, one. It's meatier, all right? And so the challenge was, so why is it not popular in the country? It's not popular in the country because, one, there's a dominance in ocean industry. We have a very mature ocean industry.
Mm-hmm.
And then also The taste, when you grow it from the dam, it tastes muddy. So people that live in rural areas around South Africa, they know about the catfish. They call it baburi or bible fish, okay. Right? They know it. But the problem with that one, Oguti, if it grows in the dams, right, and the rivers, it tastes muddy, right? But if you grow it in a clean environment, then it tastes amazing. So the pushback came from the fact to what they know as catfish is that sharp. So we're like, okay, so why is it important for us to do this? Like, okay, so we can start this thing with about 20,000 rand. For 20,000, we can start a catfish farming operation, churning out 1,000 of these things. So anyone can do it anywhere in the country. Yes. Oh, okay, fantastic. Let's do that. So we then adopted it as, okay, that's what we're doing. So we did not know what we were doing at all, right? But again, the power of the community. And then I said, okay, I'm going to show you how to raise money, because again, you need capital.
Yes,
that is the next stage of the process. Yeah. It's like, okay, now we need to raise 20,000, right? And then I said, I'm going to need to start as a side hustle. It's like, whoa, what is my side hustle? My side hustle, obviously, something that I already have, a book, you know? Because the side hustle is easier when you do something that you already are able to do and something that you already have, right? Yeah. So what do I already have? I have a book. So that it meant that I needed to amp my efforts on selling the book, right? So I was like, okay, the book is 275. And then I was like, what is the best way to advertise this book? The best way is to not show you a book. I don't do that. I don't, sometimes where I show a poster with the money, with the price, whatever. But what I do is I told the story of a guy who downloaded my free PDF of how to get anything from anyone. And then from that PDF, he realized that when he buys the book, takes the book, puts it next to his, he makes wallets, puts it next to wallet, takes a photo, posts it, tags me, and these are beautiful photos. I'm going to take those photos and put it on my platform. It's a win. So what happens is that he accessed my platform and my people without asking anything from me. So I told the story of that guy. So when I tell the story of that guy, when you listen to the story, it's like, so basically this guy learned a lot from your book. I want the book. But you know what they do? They love the guy. They're not loving me. I mean, they love me because I tell the story. But they really love the guy. So that made the story viral. So you always tell the story of other people. That went viral. That generated the 20K that I needed. In fact, I think it was like to date, it was 30K in like 1 month. And then I came back and said, okay, guys, now I have the capital. So we have the capital. Now we started this thing. So... Can I say dates? Okay, let me actually say the actual date. On the 2nd, the 4th, or the 4th, I think. Yeah, I think the 4th of June. I said, okay, guys, we're doing this catfish thing. I have the money for it. But another question was, how are we going to introduce something that a lot of South Africans are not familiar to eating? We're not going to put 30,000 into this thing and wait 6 months for it to grow and sell it and only find out after 6 months what people really like it or don't like it, or if the fish is going to survive, because we're dealing with something that is live, and there's also the real situation of load shedding, water quality, all of those things. So how do we get around that, right? So my main thing was, okay, this is where we need to now turn and say, let's start a retail point. Let's build a retail point. So I'm also demonstrating that when you're starting a business, you're not just going to go straight. You know what I mean? You're not going to, you need to find, you need to adapt along the way. So we adapted and said, okay, so this is how we want to adapt. It's like, let's start a retail business that sells wholesale meat. Meat, which is chicken, beef, pork, whatever. And people are familiar with it, and it's easy for them to buy. But it's difficult for one label to start a wholesaling business. Why? Because it takes a lot of money. So where are we going to get the money? Another problem. Aye. Get the community. Let's all contribute 470 per month, and we take that money, and then we start this thing. 3 days it took for 150 people to sign up for this thing. 3 days. And in one of the forms there, I asked Uguti, what is it that you do? Or what's your skill? I've seen nurses, teachers, technicians, electricians, some exotic titles there, you know, like like proper. Our black people are really doing amazing things out there, you know.
Yeah,
like, you know, those industries I didn't even know like they existed, but their titles, they are born Uguti. Like, these people are really, they're really in industries, right? They want to join this thing because why? They believe Uguti, man, we can take these current butcheries and meat wholesalers that are around. The only difference was that we couldn't. So now we are still going to do the catfish, 100%. We still, but it's on the road. It's like, for us to get to catfish, when the catfish is harvested, it's gonna need a shop anyways. So what are we gonna do? Are we gonna go to your Dalview's and your PNP's and ask, would you please take our fish? No, we're not gonna beg. We're gonna sell it in our own retail point. And then we're going to pair it with something that people are used to. So people are going to come because they want to buy what they usually buy. And then we're going to introduce them to this thing. But because the business is making a lot of money, it's profitable because of this product, then it means we're able to pull down the price of this this product, catfish, to a point where we're sort of like giving it away. So they get used to what I... The cheapest form of fish is that one. So that's one of the strategies that we're going to employ, right? When are we doing this? Today is probably day 150 of the whole 0 to 1 million campaign, right? And then it is day 4 or 5 since we started the stock fill. So people are still welcome to join in on the stock fill. And also another thing that I did, I was like, the stock fill is going to get 60% of the shares in the operating business, because as a stock fill, we can't run the business. We need to register a business. So the stock fill is going to run. It's going to get 60% of the profits from the business, right? And another thing came out of there with these people that are applying. We started getting people that are really good, like they who are qualified in fishing, people who are qualified in accounting, people who are qualified in systems and cold chain vibes, all of those things, everything. So we basically have everyone that we need to make this company operational. And all they need to do, these people, is like, just figure out, Uguti, how much of your time can you dedicate while we're starting, and hopefully we get to employ you. So you can imagine if you own a company that you started, you know, that's what we that's what we're trying to do. So that's the current project now.
That's big.
It is going to be big. It's called, now the company is called Z2B. Remember, it was 0 to 1 million.
Yeah.
But we see, which, no, this is actually like 0 to 1 billion now.
0 to 1 billion.
Yeah, 0 to 1 billion.
In how long?
I don't know. It could be 10 years. It could be 20 years.
But it's going to get there.
Yeah, it's going to get there.
So I want to be like the face of catfish farming South Africa?
I mean, I want to be the face of anything that works.
Oh, really? Okay, so why did you call your book Nomayini?
Nomayini.
And what does that mean?
Nomayini means, by any means necessary, means anything, right? So it comes from Indwana Gas, where... The ones that are on drugs, right? when they ask you, right, they say no mayini. So anything, whether it's money, clothes, whatever it is, just give me. But why do they say no mayini? It's because they will monetize it. Whatever it is that you give them, they will monetize it. You can give them money, they will go buy, right, their drugs. So here's the issue. You have a problem in the townships of young men, particularly, being drug addicted, right? And they make sure that every day they smoke 3 times. And how much is a skeef, right? Skeef could be 50 rand, 30 rand. Mm. Let's say, for example, he knows with a day I must make 100 rand. Whether I got banned, I got shis, or whatever's happening, I must make 100 rand every day. And they do it because they have to feed the craving, right? Or this thing that they're going through. They have to feed it. It's a must. Mm. So when they wake up in the morning, he's going to get out there and he's going to do anything it takes to have that 100 rand. You juxtapose it with a graduate who's sitting at home, who sends a CV once and doesn't get a reply. You meet them 6 months late. It's like, hey, Ndot, did you get a job? Nothing. Then the next thing, they go and they have callings and, you know, become something else and, you know?
That's so
you know
spicy.
What I mean? You know what I mean? So, yeah. Can't you know what you need to do? So now, the reason why it's called Nomayin is like, by any means necessary, you need to make things happen, right? Meaning this book is like, because I was in the hood and I understood, oh, there's a situation here. We have a drug problem. And I see it in a different way. And I love entrepreneurship. When you mix those things together, you get a book that teaches you entrepreneurship and how to make something from anything, right? How to make something from anything and monetize it, and then get to help people while you're doing it. So it's there. So that's why I need to, if you understand, if you adopt the mentality of a person who is under the spell of craving drugs, then you will do anything. Because if you calculate it, if these guys make 100 rand to go buy every day on my drugs, then it means it's 500, 700 per week, right? So you understand, which it's somewhere 2,000, 3,000 a month. Mm. You understand? Then go to Shal and just wait and send an email, send an inbox, say, no, they're out there doing their things. And they don't care what they're going to be doing.
Yes.
All they know is there are certain things that they won't do. They won't do anything that requires them to run. Mm. You understand? Because the drugs that they consume do not want you to take something, grab something and run. So they don't mess around with that. So they understand, Uguti, you need to understand your capabilities, your physical capabilities, right? Uguti, okay, I can do this. So what they want to do, they're going to help abomakoko lapayana to carry things. They're smart, like their car guards. They know how to put you into a contract without you signing.
Yes.
Right? Because we are Puma. And then what they do, they approach, right? They understand the approach. When you park your car, you get out, sister, yo, So what he's doing, he's proposing. He's not selling anything. He's just proposing. He's being visible to you. So now you know, oh, there's this guy. And then he tells you, when you walk away, and then he says, ngibhekile imoto yakho. So basically what he's saying is that, you've already employed me. You understand? And all you need to do, whether you keep quiet or whatnot, but he knows that you have it in you now, which when you come back, you're going to find him. So when you come back, you're in debt. You know what I mean? Now you're in debt. So now you have to deal internally with yourself. Uguti, am I going to do the right thing? Am I going to give him the money or not? Right? When you come back and you give him the money, that's a deal closed. He won. Right, he did not push you. He did not say, "Hey, for me to guide your car, it's 10 rand." That's what a lot of entrepreneurs do. They put their product in price. Everywhere. You go into Facebook, you go into, like, hey, I'm a take you this much. No, don't do that, right? Talk to me. Like, talk to me, man. Michelle, you know, like, yeah, man, make me feel good about myself, you know? And then you say, this is going to improve your experience.
So, yeah. You're an author. You've dropped some gems here today. I know a lot of people watching are writing these things down fiercely. But if they had to take one lesson away from your book, what would that one lesson be?
Dominate your environment and use whatever it is that's in your environment to generate an income. Whatever it is.
Like, dominate your environment
and
use whatever it is in that environment to make an income.
Yeah, 100%. You know, and you can see, I can give you an example. You can see it everywhere. The only place where you can build the kind of rooms, right, or accommodation places where you have like 8 rooms and no parking is in the township. I think it's Soweto. I don't know about other places. Mm. But because of some law that happened, you know. So that's the only place you can build a room and you don't have to match up with
parking
the parkings. That's why, you know what I mean? That's, if you understand that, you will then say, okay, I'm going to start a property business, but I'm going to do it in Soweto because the law sort of allows that. Mm. And then you say, I'm going to open up a food store. The babies and the laws, right? The laws are very lax than doing it in the CBD, right? So you dominate. You always need to dominate wherever you go, and all of these things you find them in at the university. You find them in textbooks, but the problem is that the way that they're written in a way that is very sophisticated and you sort of don't understand. A car wash is easy to open in the hood. It's easy to open, but it's hard to do it in the city. You need a lot of money to do it, and there's a lot of regulation. So you need to dominate, you know what I mean? Cleaning a mat dustbin, you can do that. Wash a mat, you can do that. Mm. You can do all of these business without even, like, you know? So when you dominate your environment, right? When you dominate your environment, you look at your environment, it's like, okay, this is the card I'm dealt. I'm in the hood. I'm not in the burbs. What can I do while I'm here? Mm. But before that happens, it starts with your own mind. Ubuti. Mina, as a person, oselokshin, am I going to behave and think like umuntu oselokshin, or am I going to think like someone who's from outside and looking into the township and saying, if I live there, what would I do? Mm. You understand? So if you fix here, Kala, if you fix here, then you're gone.
There's so many questions that I have for you, but we don't have that much time left. So we definitely do have to have you back if you will have us. I think we love you here at the Lebo Lion Show. And what I want to touch on before we ask the crew to ask us anything they have on their minds is the idea of men mentoring men. It seems to be something you're very passionate about. So I want to touch on that a little bit.
Okay. Mentoring men is the concept of makhromani, which is like specifically a male, right? What's happening, I feel, there's a void happening in the townships generally where a lot of young men, they grew up without fathers and far away from their uncles. And so they take my influences from any other men that they admire, right? Because I feel, and studies have shown, men really learn by seeing other men more than, you know, like reading. We can't read and change behaviors. Like if you see other men and then they act in a certain way, right, you're more likely to do that. If a young person grows up in an environment where it's normal for the men in that street to have multiple women and they're cheating and they're drinking, he's more likely to be that nigh self, right? Mm. So I'm a khropmani. Like I said, my environment was different. So I could see, oh, no, you can actually be way bigger than this one street, right? Mm. So that's what I do. I speak to them. But I'm not a motivational speaker. You know, motivational speaker, I say they give you pillow talks. You know, it's like pillow talks. Like, they, you know, they like really like they lull you in. You know, it's like, no. I'm going to tell you what is going on when it comes to being a man. Like, dude, you need to take care of your health, bro. You know, take care of your health. You need to, this thing of red pill, blue pill, women are this, they're horrible. What? No. But you, when self, you don't chase women. Like, start there. Don't chase women. Women love winners, bruh. Like, forget. You can be cute and spend hours there puffing yourself and doing your... Hey, women don't care about that unless they're like, I don't know, 18, right? But as you grow, they really care about resources.
Yep.
And where does that come from? It comes from when, as a man, it's like, as in... Ending, right? Things are not good, right? I wish we had more money. So what are you going to do? Are you going to blame your parents? You can blame them. It's fine. You know, you can blame them. But at the end of the day, that's not going to put food on the table. What's going to put food on the table? It's if you focus on your work. If you stop chasing women, right? And then the women that you want are going to reject you when you don't have money and you don't have resources.
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't want problems, my man. You know? So they're going to reject you. So how do you get them? You focus on your work. Women love a man that works, a man that wins. They love us. Like, yeah, when you have resources, I can risk getting pregnant here. Because if I multiply you, you're going to be able to take care of this. You know what I mean? It's just that. It's genetics. It's natural, you know? So, but how do you get women to like you? You focus on your work, right? So when it comes to the friends around you, right? When you're like, I want to be friends with like millionaires, how are you going to be friends with millionaires? Because you need to make people millionaires for you to be millionaires. You need to be the kind of person who would, in fact, I'm selling a book today, you buy. I have a brand of water today, and then you buy. You make sure what you remember, which I mean, in fact, I'm always supporting you. You know what I mean? Even if it's a bet, maybe you'd fail, maybe you, but you just need to, if you have extra money, just buy things from your friends. They want to know what that one is always supporting. The day when you need something, it's easy for them. Because that person, if they become successful, they're going to remember, Uti, there was this guy who was always supporting everything that I was doing. So if you come there and you want a certain help, you're going to help. You know what I mean? So those are kind of things that young men need to understand.
Yeah.
Right. Having a lot of women, it's old school, my man. It's old school. It's like
old school and toxic.
Yeah.
Question mark.
It's old school. Like, you can do it when you're young.
Yeah.
Because at that time you're living under your parents' roof. You're not feeding yourself. You're in college or whatever. You know. So you can do that. It's fine. 100%. But after that, real issues come. Real issues are you need to be able to feed yourself. You understand? Like, it sounds like simple, but everyone knows, every adult knows, which at some point they had to figure out how to feed themselves.
Yes.
You need to be able to live your hood because you did not decide, right? You were born there, but you did not decide to stay there. So now, where do you want to live? You know what I mean? Like, where do you want to live? It's like, I want to live. You know, like, think of Black Coffee. If you were at Black Coffee there, like, so many years ago, and then you found them in that rural place where you grew up, and then you're like, hey, Black Coffee, you want to stay here? He probably said no. Yeah. And then you ask him, where do you want to be? You say, I want to be overseas. He said that on so many shows, which, that's what he decided, which that's where he wants to be.
Yeah.
So now, if you understand, there's a place where you want to be as a man, unfortunately, as a man, you don't get a free pass, right?
Mm-hmm.
As a man, you do not get a free pass. No one is going to give you money for being cute. Nobody. You understand? So it means, as a man, you work for everything. You understand? You work for everything. And for you to work for everything, right, you need to check yourself, Uti. Are you not blaming anyone? Right? Your father did what he did. Your mother did what she did. are you going to blame them? If you keep on blaming them, you're going to blame them until you're 50, and then you're going to be fighting for your parents' house, even if they own a house, that is. Mm. You know what I mean? We see shows every time. You know, people are fighting for... Hey, Jesus, man. You know?
Small things.
Yeah, so, but as a man, you don't have those things, you know? And you need to be patient with yourself. As a young man, in your 20s, you are supposed to be broke. It is fine to be broke because you are not sure of what you're doing, right? You are not sure. You're still finding out. You're fine-tuning yourself. The best thing that you can do is talk to a lot of people, help a lot of people, do some free work, whatever it is. You know, it's fine. It's okay. You don't even have like a lot. You don't even need a lot of money, honestly. Like, you don't. You just need a place to stay, food to eat, afford whatever it is that you drink on the weekend, don't abuse it, whatever. You know, that's essentially what you need. And money to buy equipment, whatever you're in, whatever. It could be music, it could be whatever it is. Money to put into your career, right? Mm-hmm. And if that keeps you broke, you are rich. Right?
Yes.
Right? Because over the years, if you started 20, for example, your whole 20s, you're putting money into... you're putting money that you should be spending on girls and you're putting it on equipment, your career moves faster. When you turn down those invitations, which, yo, let's go buy, let's go drink and whatnot, it's like, yeah, I did it last week, but hey, in fact, I really need to finish this sketch. I really need to practice whatever it is that I do. If you compound it over the years, that's why you find Uguti at 30, at 35, you are able to afford izinto because you're rich in two ways. You have social capital. Mm. You've worked with a lot of people over the span of 10 years that when you need something, you call. Mm. You understand? You call someone that you did a favor for when you were 25, and it was a small favor. You know, it's like, ah, dude, we have like this shoot and I don't have a camera. Can I borrow your camera? Wada, wada. You know what I mean? It's like, ah, okay. Mm. 5 years later, that favor is still lingering in that person. Uguti, you once did me a favor. When are you could be asking something else? Mm. So I feel, Uguti, I need to deliver this message, right? I feel, Uguti, it's been bestowed upon me by the universe and I need to say it, right? And somewhere along the way, someone else is going to pass it on to others. Because most importantly, I believe, Uguti, if you fix the man, right, you fix the whole society. Just fix the man. Because the man is physically powerful, ukudlula a female.
Mm.
So which means if he understands how to use his power, right, he can protect a woman,
mm-hmm.
and he can teach a woman. Women are very teachable people, you know, and they love. Yeah, and you love guidance, bro. Like, you're four. Like, you really love leaders. You like we love do. A leading man. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Love a leading man. So when that happens, when you feel, Uguti, this man can protect me, you can see it in his physical form. You can see it in the way that he manages his resources. It doesn't waste money.
Mm-hmm.
And then you know what you're going to do. You're going to give him children, because you're going to expose these tiny little defenseless human beings to this person. And then he's like, okay, here you go. Here are the kids, you know. And then those kids are going to learn from what you learn from him.
Yeah.
Right? And then you teach the kids the father's beliefs. So when you become the conduit of the family legacy and the family ethos, or whatever what you call it, you know, when you have that structure, you have a proper family unit that is functional. And if you multiply that, then you have a proper functioning community. That's why I need to. Men, I'd rather focus on the man, you know, because left to his devices, if he's left and he's not monitored, he's not helped, he is disenfranchised, he's demotivated, then he's going to be a danger to the woman. And the woman is going to be a danger to the children.
Thank you for saving me from last week's podcast.
What happened?
Because there were lots of angry people about my views on male podcasters and the toxic content that they share.
Oh,
And I like what you're saying now, you know, because I completely agree and believe in what you're saying, you know. Change the man and the society benefits and the society changes, absolutely, because I believe that men are supposed to be the leaders of our society. So I completely agree with you and thank you for sharing that. I think a lot of people are going to get a lot out of it. And I also loved your synopsis of Nomayini when you said dominate your environment and dominate the resources so you know how to sell.
Yeah, 100%.
Guys, that's literally this podcast. That's basically what we were saying in this podcast. And I want to thank you, Banele, for coming through. No, we are not done with you because there's a lot that we have to unpack. And I think today we just touched on the surface.
Yeah, no, it's fine.
You
it's
know?
Fine. Yeah.
So thank you for coming.
And one more thing about those podcasts, about men being...
toxic.
Toxic.
Mm.
It works because... if I can just say, this is the last thing. It's like, it works because it's arming men to not feel bad about themselves.
Hmm.
Right? There's a lot of unemployment happening.
Okay.
They don't have resources. So they're looking for an excuse to say the reason why women are not messing with me is because they are inherently evil.
He said this, not me.
If you ask a winner, they don't have a problem.
They don't have a problem with women, right?
Yeah.
Winning men don't have problems with women.
Yeah, women have like their own flaws, like we all have. But yes. we pass jabs and whatnot. You know what I mean? But the main thing I feel good to, those podcasts are winning because the young men are looking for. A reason to hate, right? And when they say, I know women in general, and all of them are like this, then it justifies Uti. Ah, that's why they're not messing with me. No, dude, you're a loser, bro.
You're a loser, bro.
That's it.
Look, this is not a sponsored podcast. I did not give Banele a script. He said this from his own free will. I am not that evil that I would make a man say what I want him to say, right? So you guys have to understand that there are different perspectives with these things. And thank you so much for sharing your wisdom today. How can anyone find you if they want to get in touch with you or view your content?
Okay. I am on Banele Reo on everything, right? Instagram, Banele Reo, TikTok, Facebook. To email me, banele@banelereo.co.za. And I do have the links that would take you to everything that I do, every initiative that I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to learn business, there's a book, there's stuff for you on my website. If you want to learn about drug abuse, especially if you're dealing with someone who is addicted, I believe those are the people that need the most attention, the people that are dealing with people that are addicted, right? There's content on my website for that. So, yeah.
Awesome.
Banelereo.co.za.
Banelereo.co.za. Thank you so much for coming on the Level Lion Show. This is not the last time. And we appreciate all the wisdom that you shared. Guys, you know how we do on this podcast. We like, we share, we subscribe, we comment. And we keep the comments friendly because we are a community and we're all trying to learn from one another. Right? Until next time, I'll see you on the social media streets at @LebuLion_SA or at the Level Lion Show. Remember, the best way to eat an elephant is one bite at a time. Goodbye.
Or catfish. Follow me back to my nest. Level Lion with the podcast. Teach you lesson because I got class. Level Lion with the impact. You be lying, that's a real fact.